join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
And as I began to just follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, I began to recognize that there are powerful spiritual mothers and fathers who are on the front lines of reaching and restoring families. And it did not take the Holy Spirit long to lead me to you and your husband. I've had the wonderful privilege of knowing you guys as you served a local church in another city prior to you coming here. And for years I have seen your hearts and your character and your passion for raising up strong families. I knew of your teaching gift. I can't wait for our church family to be blessed by your teaching gift, but probably the greatest lessons you will ever learn and to ever leave will be in the hearts of your children. And so I felt like a great way to end this series would to be to have a spiritual mom come and teach us some of the lessons she's learned and continues to learn on this journey of parenting. And so it's my wonderful privilege to welcome to the pulpit of Dominion Church tonight a spiritual mom who has it all together and is going to help us get it together too. Would you put your hands together and welcome Susan Hancock to the pulpit?
If you didn't, I think we've got a few extra. So those are for you to take home. They correlate with my talk tonight, but those are for you to take home and read over and study. And so, well, first of all, before I get into my little lesson tonight, I just got some really great words of wisdom to give you. About raising children. And so, number one, it's 3 points. Number one, spank them when they're young. Number two, lock them in their bedrooms when they're teenagers. Number three, when they get married, move away and change your phone number. Not really, kids. Sorry. No, but anyway, and I have 19 pages of handwritten notes. I live in the Stone Ages. Don't do computers. My daughter said, Mother, I'll type it for you. And I said, no, that's okay. I may get messed up if I try to put it in typewritten because I'm used to looking at my handwritten. But anyway, I promise not to keep you till 10 o'clock, okay? But I just kind of want to give you a little background about my life and my upbringing because I feel like it has a big impact on what you're going to hear tonight and about my life raising kids. But I was born in Vernon, Texas. That's where I get my accent, if you're wondering. I was born in the northern part of the state and to Buck and Marie Frith. And my grandfather on my mother's side was an Assembly of God pastor. And he actually helped pioneer the church where I was raised. And I attended that church for 33 years until Lloyd and I and the girls moved away. And so that church was a huge part of my life. I've been married for 35 wonderful years to my handsome prince, Lloyd, over here to my left. Hi, honey. And he's such a precious man. But anyway, I have three beautiful daughters. I have Tiffany sitting here and her handsome husband, Jason. My daughter, Alice, and her husband, Kevin, they actually on vacation. Can you believe they had the nerve to schedule vacation when I'm up here speaking? But no, actually, they scheduled it months in advance, and I told them, hey, it's okay. Then I have Jaden and Braden, my precious grandsons. There's Jaden. He's in here, and then Braden's in the back. So anyway, I'm very proud of my family. I love them very much. Oh, excuse me, Lauren. I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. Well, I'm done. I'm a bad parent. Honey, you're the last, but you're not the least.
That's
you're
right.
Not forgotten, yeah. Okay? I'm sorry. That's Lauren, everybody. Okay. All right. Going back to my childhood, I was raised in a Christian home. And our family prayed together every night before bed when I was in grade school. That made a huge impact on my life. I remember kneeling down and us all just praying together. It was a neat time in my life. And so I learned how to pray at a very young age. And I learned that prayer worked. Good. I saw this in my mom and dad's life over and over again. My dad at present time is 95 years of age. My mother's 92. And my dad served on the church board where I was raised for 62 years and retired off there at age 90. So I'm very proud of my parents and my upbringing. Like I said, my mother's 92. I wore a necklace that she gave me tonight to make her feel close to me. I know she's been praying for me today, and I've seen her wear this to church many times, so I thought it'd be neat to wear this around my neck. My brothers and sisters and I all have families that are going to church today. And so my mom and dad laid a very, very strong, good foundation for us. And so I grew up going to church and grew up with prayer being a very huge part of my life. And I developed a prayer life of my own as an early teen, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit at age 13 in the missionette meeting. So thank God for missionettes. Even if you didn't grow up praying, it is never too late to develop a prayer life. It's a powerful weapon for the Christian and wonderful fellowship with the Father. I wouldn't take for it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So prayer is a cure for worry. We can cast all of our care on God. Don't have to worry about it anymore because we cast it on Him. Because God loves us, and He wants us to be free from worry, and He wants us not to be anxious.
That's good. That's right.
When you pray, peace will come. And that's happened to me, well, all the time. I go to God, "Oh, God, help me. I need peace." I love peace. I'm a lover of peace. Anyway, whenever I pray, I always start my prayer with thanksgiving. You know, I thank God for His Son who died for me and saved me. And I thank Him for His Holy Spirit. And I thank Him for protection and provision in mine and my family's lives, for His grace, mercy, love, His faithfulness. I just go down the line because I don't ever want to take God for granted and what He's done for me.
That's good.
Praying for your children is all about trusting God. My faith has been built up through seeing God answer prayer in my own life. In 2009, I went through a really trying time in my own body, and I was going through some health issues. And, you know, I just got real serious with God. You know, I went to Him, and I said, "God, I need your help." And I would just lay prostrate on the floor because I'd been to see my primary care doctor but was waiting to go for some tests and a biopsy. And, you know, God just really met with me in such a powerful way. I mean, His presence was so real, and He just ministered to me. And He let me know, without a shadow of a doubt, "I'm here with you." So I'm happy to say that I went for tests, and they all came back good. And, you know, God really touched me and ministered to me at that time. And my faith grew enormous, to be enormous heights. And that, along with many other answers to prayer, has increased my faith over the years. And it has helped me to build a faith to deal with situations that have gone on in my children's lives. And so I've always prayed for wisdom to talk to my kids because I want to have the wisdom of God and be able to tell them from God's perspective answers. James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to them." So that's a promise of God. If you ask for His wisdom in dealing with your children, He'll give it to you.
Good.
I guarantee you. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, but God will help us. There are many godly mothers in the Word of God, and one, of course, was the mother of Jesus, Mary. You know, she taught Jesus. She raised Him as a child. I mean, He was God wrapped in flesh, but I know she helped shape Him as a physical man, and I'm sure she prayed over Him daily. And so she was a wonderful example to us. But tonight I want to talk to you about a woman in the Bible, a praying mother, that's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, and her name was Hannah. I'm sure we're all familiar with Hannah. But Hannah was married to a man, and I told the Lord, I hope I don't mess his name up. I'm kind of like D. Ledford. I'm like, oh, these names. But anyway, I think it's Elkanah. Anyway, that's the way I was pronouncing it. He had two wives, Hannah and then Peninnah. And so Hannah, she didn't have any kids, and Peninnah had sons and daughters. And so Peninnah would just tease her. You don't have kids. I've got kids, you know. Women can be so mean. But anyway, she would tease her greatly about not having children. And the Bible actually says that God shut up the womb of Hannah. And I believe that he did that because it was not his time for Hannah to bear a child. So he literally shut up her womb. But anyway, it made Hannah very sorrowful. She was very sad about it because she wanted more than anything to have particularly a son. So she would go up to the temple of the Lord when her husband would go sacrifice. And she would go in there and she would just cry out to God. And she would just be so sorrowful. And she would just ask God, please give me a son. Please give me a son. And so the Bible actually records that she was standing in the temple praying. And Eli the priest looks over at her and he sees her just praying with her lips. And she's not saying anything. And he thinks she's drunk. He goes over to her and he says, woman, why are you drinking? You know, why are you drunk? And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm just filled with such sorrow because I want a child and I've been crying out to the Lord for a child. So Eli the priest said, go in peace and it's going to be granted to you. So immediately Hannah received her joy. She believed what the word of the Lord said. And so she eventually conceived and she bare a son and she named him Samuel. And so anyway, she remembered her vow. She had vowed to the Lord that if he would give her a son, that she would present him to the Lord and that she would actually take him and he would grow up in the house of the Lord and work and worship there and be used of God. So as soon as she weaned him, she took him back to the temple of the Lord and she left him there with Eli the priest to grow up. So Samuel stayed there and he worshiped the Lord and he learned of the Lord and he grew up. And he learned many things. And the Bible tells us that God had his hand on him greatly. And that he was a prophet and a man of God. So he received many words from the Lord. As he grew up, he received many words. In fact, one night he heard someone saying, Samuel, Samuel. He went to Eli. What do you want? Yes, I'm here. He said, that wasn't me. Go back to bed. And this happened three times. And on the third time, Eli said, next time say, I'm here, Lord, I'm your servant. So he did that. And so that was the beginning of him starting to hear words from the Lord and wisdom and words of prophecy from the Lord. So anyway, he gave Israel many instructions over the years about how to live, how to defeat their enemies. So he became great in the temple of the Lord. And he was greatly used by God. He anointed two kings of Israel to lead the people. And all of this, my point is with all of this, is it all started with a praying mother.
That's good.
So Hannah should be lifted up as an example of a godly mother. From the time she first desired to have a child, she prayerfully and purposely presented her child before the Lord. She regarded her son as a gracious gift from God and expressed her intention to fulfill her vow by dedicating him to the Lord. So I feel like that just as Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord and his service, we as parents should do the same with our children and pray for God to use them. And that's what I've always done with my kids. God, use my children for your glory. Another woman I would like to mention is the Proverbs 31 woman. And the whole chapter is good, Proverbs chapter 31, but I want to read verse 28 through 31. And it says, her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you suppress them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. So this Proverbs 31 woman was a woman that centered her life around respect for God. She had compassion for others and a faithfulness and a love for her family. She's another good example for us to follow. Okay, how do we pray for our children? We're talking about the power of a praying mom tonight. So how do we pray for our children? Well, some tools that you can use that are powerful are the Word of God, anointing oil, and faith and trust in God. And I'm going to talk about these more later. But when my girls were growing up, I was an exhausted mother. I'm telling you, I know y'all can relate. So this is just a funny story I thought y'all might enjoy. What time is it? Okay. But I just got to a point to where really I was so exhausted I felt ill. And I told my husband, I said, I've got to go to the doctor. There's something really, really wrong with me, and you're going with me. So we go to the doctor, and we're sitting there, and my doctor was a great doctor, kind of a little rough around the edge and rough talking. But he sits there, and he starts asking me all these questions, you know, about my life, and do you have children, and, well, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your life. And so I began to tell him, you know, I had three active little kids, well, at that time, two active little girls, and, you know, just telling me about my life. And he said, do you ever get to take a bath by yourself? And I said, are you kidding me? I ought to sell tickets. I said, if my girls are not in there, they're knocking on the door, mommy, mommy. And so then, in a few choice words, he looks over at Lloyd, and he, I'm not going to say what he said, but it was like, good grief, man, let her take a bath alone. So anyway, we mothers get stressed sometimes, we get exhausted, but I needed a lot of help from God raising my kids. And so I would get up early in the morning, and I would pray before they got up. And I would say, God, give me strength, give me wisdom to raise these girls. You know, of course, that, you know, I prayed about other things too, but I always prayed that he would help me to raise my kids, because to me, I took it very serious. It was a very serious thing to me to raise kids, and I wanted to raise godly children. So anyway, I would keep a notebook and write down my prayer needs in that notebook, and then later on, I could go back and look over that notebook and see the answers to prayer and the way God had worked, and it was such an encouragement to me. So I still do that today. I'm sure many of y'all do too. And as the girls were growing up, I had nightly prayer with them. And, you know, this teaches your children how to pray. When they can hear you verbally pray, it will teach them how to pray. And so this needs to start when they're babies. I mean, soon, not long after they come out of the womb, you know, just pray with them at night before they go to bed. And let's see. Okay. And as they get older, you can allow them to start, you know, involving themselves in the prayer time. I never will forget my middle daughter. She was about probably 5 or 6 years of age, and there was a man in our church that was very, very ill. And so I was telling her about that, and I said, let's pray for Brother Smith. You know, he's having a rough time, and he's sick. And to my surprise, she prayed one of the most anointed prayers. It was just, it wowed me, and it touched my heart. And so I took her over to visit him, and I said, do you want to pray for Brother Smith? And she said, sure, I'll pray for Brother Smith. And this boldness came over her, and she laid her little hand on him, and she prayed the most powerful prayer. And that man stood in church a year after that, testifying that he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for that little girl's prayers. So our children are impacted by what they learn.
That's good. That's right.
All of my girls still believe in the power of prayer today, and they don't mind praying for others, you know. So that's a good thing. Your children need to learn how to pray for other people. When Lloyd and I were raising our girls, Lloyd would anoint them with oil and pray for them for healing. And here's our little bottle of anointing oil. We've had this for over 33 years. It's just a little bottle of sweet oil. And picked it up at the drugstore where we live. So just showing you there's no, you know, well, there's anointing oil here. So what I mean is it's just powerful. It's a powerful tool of God, is anointing oil. So anyway, in James chapter 5, 14, 15, it says, is there any of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint them with oil. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. Mm-hmm. So anointing is good. Anoint your children with oil.
Yeah.
It's a good practice to start. Now we go over and pray when our grandchildren are sick. So we're carrying that teaching on to them now. My adult children will still call me on the phone today and ask for prayer. Mom, I need your help. I need you to pray for this or that. And I'll say, well, let's pray right now. And so we'll pray over the phone. Lauren still lives at home with us, and I can't tell you the times that we've prayed together over different needs. As a mother, I have prayed for my children about such things as tests at school, their relationship with their friends, finding a job, help and favor on their jobs, buying a car, wisdom to make right decisions, protection, favor everywhere they go. These are just some of the things that go on in their life that they need prayer help. It's important to pray about everything that concerns your child. And I believe that my children have done well because of the power of prayer. The Word of God is a powerful tool. Over the years, I've taped scriptures above our doorways in our home. I've taped scriptures on my girls' door headboards. Whenever there was something going on in their life that needed to be broken, I've taped the scriptures to their headboards. And I'll tell you a story about that a little bit later. Whenever there has seemed like there's been a lot of turmoil or discouragement in our home, I would anoint the walls, the doors, the beds, the entire house, and command that spirit of division to leave my home.
That's good.
And I would pray for peace to come in, and I'm telling you what, it would come.
That's good.
And Lloyd can tell you that today on my mirror, on my side of the vanity, there's always scripture there. You know, I change it out every now, but I want scripture I can look at all the time and words of encouragement that I can lean on. Like I said a while ago, the Word of God is a powerful tool to fight against the enemy. Some of you may have heard about a prayer cloth. Some of you may have not. But I have used a prayer cloth to break strongholds of the enemy in my children's lives. I would take a piece of cloth and anoint it with oil and pray over it. And then I would put it in their pillowcase. I would find a scripture and declare over them, and I would pray that scripture over them. Now, the prayer cloth doesn't heal, has no special power or anything like that, but it's a tool and an act of obedience. And God does the healing, but sometimes I would just feel like I'm just wanting to pray over that, something that they lay their head down on and sleep on. And, I mean, Jesus even used mud to heal a blind man. I mean, the mud didn't heal the eyes, but evidently he felt impressed to put mud on the man's eyes, and that was in John chapter 9, 6, and 7. So that was just a tool that Jesus used that particular time for healing, was putting mud on the man's eyes. So Christ was obedient to the Father. Whatever the Father impressed him to do, he was obedient. That's what we need to do. Our spirits need to be tender before the Lord so he can speak to us and give us the tools we need. One of my girls became very fearful, and a spirit of fear just had plagued her for about a month, and we were dealing with this thing and battling against this thing. And she would come with me with tears and just fearful, and one thing she was afraid of is, Mama, I'm afraid you're going to die. I'm afraid you're going to die, Mama. And she'd tell me this almost every day. And I'm like, okay, Lord, is this a prophetic word? No, are you trying to prepare me or what? So I've got to tell you, Mama had to do a little praying herself because I was kind of freaked out. Woo! But anyway, we've been praying over her, and we'd taken her to talk to the pastor, and, you know, it was just really becoming a heavy burden and thing. And so I got a little prayer cloth, and I anointed it with oil. I put it in her pillowcase, and I started declaring 1 Timothy 1:7 over her. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And I want you to know within 1 week that thing was broken off her. That stronghold was broken. So once again, when God gives you direction, don't be afraid to follow. It's his spirit leading you.
That's great.
And then just trust him for the answer. Sometimes our children don't see clearly about things that are going on in their lives. And I had one time where my child just was in a very troubling situation and needed to see some truth. So I got up at 6 a.m. every day and interceded before God. And I got very serious with God. You know, when there's something serious going on in your child's life, you get serious with God.
Yeah.
I would sit down in my bathroom and just, it was kind of like a little prayer closet, like I was just kind of tucked away. And I would sit down in my bathroom and I would cry out to God. And I had my Bible open, man. I was ready to do warfare. You know, this is our sword of the Spirit. That's what it tells us in Ephesians 6 and 17. And I was going to do battle on my child's behalf. And so every day when I went into that to that bathroom, God just met with me. I'm telling you, it was one of the sweetest times I'll never forget in my life. Because his presence just filled that little room. And as I was reading the Bible and just praying, and his presence was so strong, he would show me in the Word of God every day something that would encourage me. Every day without fail. And I would write it down. The next day he'd show me something else and I'd write it down. And every day I would read over that. And that would encourage me in the Lord. And I would know that he was working because what he showed me through his Word. I declared John 8:32 over her. And I said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I declared that over her every day. I taped it to her headboard, and I walked into her room every morning to declare that scripture over her. Well, wouldn't you know, that thing broke in about 3 weeks. It took 3 weeks, but God miraculously took care of that situation, and over time, she saw the truth more and more and more. So if you get serious with God,
right,
he will meet with you.
That's right.
I'm telling you, he'll meet with you in a way that you'll never imagine. But don't get discouraged by the enemy, because he'll come in with all these voices and these things throwing them at you.
Right.
Don't get discouraged, but stay diligent. Don't give up. And I would just tell the Lord, "God, I lay this at your feet. God, I give it to you." Because, you know, sometimes we want to hang on to it.
Right.
We want to control it, and we want to hang on to it. This time I said, "God, I can't do it. I'm giving it totally to you." And that releases God's hand to work. When I've had a heavy burden for my children and I'm seeking God for an answer, I don't take anything lightly that God gives me.
Good.
I can't tell you how many times I've been going through something and Pastor Greg and Pastor Clint will get up here in the pulpit and they'll just start talking. I think, how'd they know? How could they possibly know what I'm going through? Well, it's the Spirit of God flowing through them. I know it wasn't just for me, but it was just a word that I needed to hear from that time. Sometime I picked up my blessing calendar, and the word for that day was just what I needed. Or I might hear a preacher on TV, you know, or a radio minister. Or it might be in my personal devotion that day, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. God will speak to you in so many different ways when you're going through a trial and let you know, "Hey, I'm still here. You don't have to worry, I'm still here."
Right.
He will reveal many truths to you. And so, like I said before, I write down scriptures that pertain to my situation. I just read over and over them. And let's see. He says that he brings peace that passes all understanding. Well, I'm telling you what, sometimes peace will come out of nowhere. When you're least expecting it. And like you said, it goes beyond understanding. You're like, "Wow, God,
right. This
peace I feel during this trial, how can it be?"
Right.
Well, that's the peace of God. Many years ago, this is just an example of how God has worked. Now, this is really a rare thing to me. It's never happened to me before, but I was very tired one night. I'd had a rough day. My girls were young. And one of my daughters just really hyper this day, and she just put me through it, and disobedient, just, you know. And so I got in the bathtub that night, and I was so burdened and so upset because I really had to discipline her hard that day because she was just driving me crazy. But I got in the bathtub, and I was just crying out to God. And I was like, "God, I don't understand this. Lord, what's happened? Why has she been so hyper? And why have we had such a rough day?" And I kid you not, pastors heard this story, but right on the side of the bathtub, as plain as day, just for a moment, flashed a red popsicle. And I was like, what? Well, it'd been a really hot day that day, and they were outside playing, and she'd run in the house, Mom, I want a popsicle. So, you know, what do you do when you're stressed out? You give them whatever they want. So. So I gave her a red popsicle, sent her outside, and a while later comes back in. I want another red popsicle. No, you've already had one. I want a red popsicle. Okay, get it, go. You know. Well, a little bit later, she came in again. I want another popsicle. No, you need some more. I want a popsicle. I said, just go on, get a popsicle. I don't know how many she made. I mean, how many she ate. But God brought all that back to my memory. I'm serious. It's like, you know what? It's those red popsicles. And you know what? I'm telling you. Did you know that not long after that, I was telling someone that story, and they said, Susan, don't you know that red dye sometimes has a very adverse effect to some children? It's like poison. I'm like, no, I didn't know that. I was just feeding the red popsicles. I didn't know it's poison. So, needless to say, that child never got another red popsicle. But you know, isn't that sweet? I mean, of God to just show me that. And I mean, I was kind of freaked out a little bit. I thought, well, that was something to see, that red popsicle. But he gave me the answer. I was asking why, and he gave me the answer. So, another way that God, another way that God has worked through me to help my children is he'll reveal things to me through the night. I mean, I can't tell you the countless times this has happened to me. He'll wake me up during the middle of the night, and he'll start giving me something to say to them. And I get up, and I start writing, and I can't hardly write fast enough. I just, it's just coming so fast. Well, that's the Spirit of God operating.
That's right. That's good.
So sometimes, especially when they're teenagers, they take it better in a letter, you know. So I would give my girls the letters, and you can ask them. They received many letters from their mama. Lloyd and I have prayed over our girls since they were young for godly mates that would love them, love God, serve God, raise their family in church. And I pray the scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Good scripture to pray over your unmarried kids. So I'll tell you right now, I've prayed many young men out of their lives, like, oh, no. Ain't gonna happen. No way. So anyway, I've got two down and one to go. And God has blessed me with two wonderful son-in-laws, Jason and Kevin. And so now we're believing for Lauren, a good mate. And I know God will come through. But you can find a scripture in the Word of God for any problem that you're experiencing with your children.
That's right.
And you can declare it over them in the name of Jesus. That's that name above no other name.
That's good.
You know, when Jesus healed people in the Bible, he wasn't real wordy, but he spoke with power and authority.
That's good.
In Luke 9:1, it says, then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure disease. That same power and authority is available to us today. All we have to do is use it. And when we pray, we need to realize that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding to the Father on our behalf.
Right.
Isn't that a comfort? Mark 16:19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. 1 Timothy 2:5-6, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Yeah. So Jesus is up there willing and ready to help. In closing, I want to encourage each of you to pray always for your children and not just the women, guys. We're not going to let you off the hook. The guys, you need to be praying. The fathers need to be praying for their children, too.
That's good.
Pray for your children, but also train them. Train them for their Christian walk, their home life, their family life, their career life, their church life. Kids need training in every area of their lives. We need to train them to be godly. We need to train them to be holy people, respectful people. All these things go hand in hand to me with Christianity. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is a wonderful promise of God, and
That's
we can
awesome.
Hang on to that.
That's awesome.
Parents, be living examples of godliness in every area of your life. Teach your children to pray, attend church, pay tithe, and serve God. Create a good foundation for your children. You will see God working in their lives if you'll do this. If you have a prodigal, it's never too late to pray
That's
them
great.
Home. No matter how old your children get, continue to pray for them. I pray for and with my adult children and their mates and their children. I will never stop praying for them as long as I have breath in me.
Good for you, Mama.
To sum all this up, God is faithful.
Amen.
If there's anything I know,
That's right.
God is
That's
faithful.
Right.
He has showed this to me time and time again. And I tell you, moms and dads, he will hear your cries and he will answer. I challenge you to pray faithfully for your children. There's a lot of ungodly influences out there, and they need your help. They need your prayer support, your prayer covering. When God does answer your prayers, always thank him and have a grateful heart for all he's done. We need to remember when he answers our prayer to thank him for that answered prayer. Well, I appreciate you listening to me tonight. And I just would like to do something. I feel like that, especially with young moms, that, you know, sometimes you feel like you just flat don't have time to pray. I've been there. Your life is hectic, you're stressed, you're exhausted, your kids are hyped up on red popsicles. And you know, it's... But, you know, I have prayed mowing the yard. I have prayed washing the dishes. You know, sometimes we get this mindset that God's not going to hear us if we're not on our knees.
That's right.
But that's not true.
That's right. That's good.
God understands when you're busy, when you've got things going on in your life. He sees that. You know what? He sees your heart.
That's right.
And so, like I said, it's not so much about where you pray, but just pray.
Right.
Just pray. And if you have to get up a little bit earlier before they get up, I guarantee you it'll be worth it.
That's right.
I've gone to sleep praying. I'm going to be honest. I've gotten up early. I've gone to sleep praying, but I made the effort. God saw my heart. He heard my prayer, maybe as short as it was.
That's great.
So I just feel like that we're building an army here at Dominion Church. We're building an army. And, you know, we've got to stay strong and do our part, but we've got to raise these kids up.
That's right.
We're
going
to be moving to Calder Road, and we're going to be seeing a lot more unsafe people come in, and we want our children to impact their lives.
That's awesome.
So praying over them and equipping them and teaching them and training them will help us accomplish that.
That's right.
So if you're here tonight, you may be saying to yourself, well, I just haven't really prayed like I should. I really haven't focused on prayer, and I haven't given God the time that I've needed to. You know what? Don't regret. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. And like I said, just it doesn't have to be long prayers. I mean, like I said, Jesus, when he healed, he didn't get real wordy. It's just the power and authority in your life that you have. So anyway, I was just going to see if some of the ladies that serve on the prayer team, if you would come up. I don't know who all's here. I know Billy you're on the prayer team, and is there anyone else here that's on the prayer team tonight? I just wanted, okay, come on up, Shay, if you don't mind. I wanted to anoint the ladies with oil tonight. And we want to pray over you and ask God to give you a fresh anointing to pray, a fresh anointing in your life to lead your children. So anyway, and this goes for the men too. Like I said, you know, if the men want to come up, or I tell you what, guys, why don't you come up and stand behind your wives? Be a support to them because you're the leader of your home. So come on, ladies, come on up and let's have a time of prayer.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.